Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Once again, we've got our favorite guest, because he really is a guest on this show, but he's one of the talk radio news posse, one of Ellen's gang, and that would be the former congressman from Ohio, Bob Ney, in our virtual green room. And Bob, I want to ask you about this. You know, I go out and speak, and it turns out that you go out and speak. Imagine that. And you were speaking somewhere today. What's that like for you when you do that? Do you get a real jolt out of it?
Yes, I still do. You know, I did thousands of speeches when I was in Congress, but I spoke at West Liberty University. I spoke at a high school not long ago. I like it. I really do. And I always tell them, look, I'm not seeking votes, so you're going to get a lot of truth here.
That's good. You're going to get a lot of truth. Because, you know, with politicians, it's 50-50. You don't know.
Well, it depends, before the election or after.
True. Before or after. I was kidding you say that. All right. How about this story? Bo Bergdahl, they're saying that he's getting hit with desertion. Are you surprised by that or no? I mean, even the State Department is saying the Bergdahl swap was worth it because now that this has come out. I guess in some ways I'm not surprised because of a lot of the information that started to come out. But, boy, it sure took a long time, didn't it?
Well, that's what surprised me, because it was taking so long. They have two articles on him that they charged him with. But what I see, I got surprised today because I didn't think they were going to charge him because it just took too long. I mean, they had videos, they had information. What on earth would take you that long? I mean, unless they were just completely paranoid and want to make sure they made zero mistakes on this because of the nature of the sensitivity of the exchange.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I guess that's it. We're going to talk about that, folks, obviously, on this show. What do you think, fair or foul, on that decision? 855-266-KATE,
855-266-5283. I'm sorry, that's going to be very interesting, Kate, because it comes down to if you knew what you knew now, do you still support an exchange? You know?
Yep, yeah.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah.
It is interesting. So how about this, the Loretta Lynch delay? What is going on? And, you know, people are asking, is this, even Josh Earnest at the White House kind of ducked and dived on this question because he was flat out asked about whether race was a factor. What?
This one is a huge mistake by the Republicans. First of all, it's just against every principle of substance that you hold her nomination up because you don't like the way the Democratic side isn't voting on some bill that has nothing to do with her, number one. As much as the Republicans didn't like Holder anyway, she's a breath of fresh air for them. She should be. But she actually answered some questions more to the Republican side, you know, satisfaction. And I just wonder where it is going. I mean, it starts to look, you know, like they're trying to find reasons to hold her up.
Yeah, I mean, it's just dragging on so, so long. But I thought from the Republican point of view, the idea was, ugh, we hate Holder, get Holder out, and now this is dragged out longer. I mean, he resigned months and months ago.
He did, and now they're dragging the process out. And again, they don't have a valid reason for not appointing her, and that's allowing people to say, well, okay, there's no valid reason. She performed well. She has nothing bad in her background. Maybe it's the color of her skin. I mean, you know, they're starting to invite questions because they have no legitimate reason. And you can't pass the smell test in government to say, well, American people, we're holding her up because we don't like the way the Democrats are treating us on another bill. That doesn't pass the smell test.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's crazy. It's crazy because the whole idea was Holder, Holder, Holder. And so, wait, you're holding on to Holder because he's still in that gig, even resigning, while this is being dragged out with Lynch. That's the thing that I think is baffling to me. All right, also baffling, or maybe not, but actually kind of funny, is Senator Ted Cruz announcing, as you know, we already talked about this, running for president, first one in, and now the birther controversy over Cruz as to whether or not, can he really run because of the of Canada, being born in Canada, and he renounced the citizenship and all that other sort of stuff. I mean, wow, does this really have legs? You know who's really pushing it? It's Donald Trump.
Oh, of course Trump is. I mean, he went after the president on the birther thing, you know, and making a bet and everything. He's got some legitimate ground to stand on in the sense that we know Ted Cruz was born in Canada. We also know that in 2013 he gave up his Canadian citizenship. That's kind of a long time to wait. So, yeah, he's fair game for it. I mean, this is a guy that talks about immigrants. Mm-hmm. You know, and he might have came legally from Canada, but the fact remains, I mean, I think he's probably a legal candidate because this whole thing is just a train wreck of what our founders really meant. But it's just so ironic of all people, Ted Cruz, and sure, he's going to be open game for Donald Trump.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, you know how it is when you get out of Washington and then you get a chance to, I guess, continue along the path of trying to influence and whatnot. So what's the deal with Dick Cheney? Did you see this item? If you haven't, I'll tell you about it. He was the headliner for the big fundraiser they have, the Republicans fundraiser, the annual dinner. And the dinner raised $17.5 million for, you know, House Republicans. And you look at Dick Cheney, I mean, this guy has 100 hearts and 9 lives. And is he sort of like the Don Corleone of the Republicans?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's like, you know, Luke, I'm your father, Darth Vader. I mean, you know, all you can miss me is a, you know, and he's just, he's a darling of, when I was in Congress, I mean, he would walk in the room and people would be like, Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
And I always thought, wow, you know, I mean, he reminds you of when he shot that guy with that gun, you know, he's sort of like a guy that looks after he shoots you, has kind of a crooked smile on his face and says, you better put a Band-Aid on that. You know, I mean, he's just, he's a trip and a hardcore guy and they love him. He's, you know, he can bring in money.
Yeah, see, is that the deal? There's just some people that for whatever reason, they just get that tag. They're just beloved. That's it. And no matter what, this is a person, like you said, that can raise money, that excites people. You mention it. Here you are in Congress, and you see the air come out of the room when he walks in. You know, who would you even compare that to? Who would compare? I can't even think. I'm, you know, thinking of who would compare. Well, Clinton in a different way, I guess, right, Bill Clinton?
Yeah, in a different way, not in a scary way. Clinton in a different way. But, you know, Dick Cheney, it was kind of well known in Republican circles that at some point in time he must have shut the door at the White House and said, hey, George, toughen up, you wimp. I mean, that's the feeling that he was the guy that made George Bush, you know, get with it. And that's the feeling. I've heard that many times privately.
Yeah, I've heard that too privately once or twice, that was what happened with Cheney, because he doesn't really suffer fools and doesn't care. He has that, you know, he has that thing, I don't care, I'm not worried so much about what people think, so it was easy for him to say that, I think, to Bush. Interesting.
Oh, and he doesn't care. I mean, he really, seriously, you can't offend him.
No, that's what I heard, too. Interesting. All right, Bob Ney, and we never know what we're going to get. You're like a box of Cracker Jacks. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. We'll see you. Bye, Kate.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
My heart is fine, fine. No one can drop. My pillow never drop. No one can drop.
I can remember as a kid growing up taking piano lessons, and I can also remember, I think, the first instrument that I learned to try to play, but it got me so excited, and it was pretty easy. I was in kindergarten, and this was when I was in New York at one of the public schools there. I played the triangle, and I just remember the power and how I felt in learning a little bit about music and all of us being together in both of those, the piano example and in doing the triangle. And sadly, what's now happened is music is becoming such an elective in so many schools that sometimes it's taken out of the school or it's not encouraged as much. And what music, I think, does for students and how it lifts you up, because I know from my own personal experience and the kids around me, I think it's something that I really honestly believe we don't want to lose with kids and with students of all ages. So I am really psyched to have Vincent James on with us, because his mission is to promote that, to promote how valuable and important music is actually in all of our lives, whether it's academically, I was talking about that in a sense, or whether it's a therapeutical kind of thing, or just how it makes us feel in society. And we've done this before, where you're driving down the road and you hear the song you like, and it's like you want to shout out, roll your window down, and start singing the song, and you feel pumped up and happy. And I've seen that, trust me, across the board in all ages. So anyway, he's in our virtual music room. Vincent James joins us now. Hey, Vincent, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, Kate. Great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
So you heard me talk initially about that it's sad that music sometimes is getting left aside or cut back or not encouraged as much in schools. And to me, boy, I think that could make all the difference in the way so many of the kids actually even feel as they go about the rest of their day. Am I right on that?
Oh, you're nail on the head there, Kate. I mean, music builds so many skills for the kids, you know, growing up. You know, it builds their social skills. It helps give them more confidence in other areas of their life. It helps develop their brain in ways that other activities don't, which actually help them in many of their other subjects, whether it's math, English, or science. So to pull that away from the kids, to make it an elective, or even to make it so it's not available in many cases, to me is like a crime.
Boy, yeah, I agree with you. And did that all start because, hey, we're cutting back and we can't afford that? And, you know, so it became the dollars versus we have to emphasize other things in school, but not, to me, not realizing the potential of what that could do to students.
Right, yeah, I definitely think that's a large part of it. I mean, you know, even starting before the recession hit, you know, a few years back, you know, you started to see music programs being cut, and budget had a lot to do with it. And it was also the attention that the school administrators, you know, statewide, you know, throughout the country, are the emphasis they're placing on what they call their core subjects, you know, the science, the math, the English, the history, you know, the things that they feel, you know, can be objectively tested and measured. And, you know, they feel like we're, you know, obviously the country, we're trying to compete, you know, with many other countries to turn out kids that are well-educated. But I think they're losing the sight of the fact that music and art, you know, need to be a part of that to have kids be developed as best as they can be.
Yeah. So what do you do? How do you kind of fight this? What can you do? How can you reach out? Or how can listeners who are around the country hearing what we're saying, what can people do?
Well, what we're trying to do is number one, is educate people how important music is in these areas. You know, the education areas, the therapeutic areas are just making us happy, and all the reasons why it's important and how it affects different people's lives. And then we're hoping to use that groundswell to help, you know, little by little turn the tide in the school administrator world where they can, you know, add the arts back in. You know, they have STEM as a big initiative, the science, technology, engineering, and math. Well, there's a big fight to put A in the middle, which would be arts, to call it STEAM, to make, you know, music and art also be one of the core subjects that are measured, maybe not objectively measured, but, you know, have it in there so that it's part of what the kids get every year.
Yeah. Well, for you, tell me about why music is important to you. Did that start when you were younger, too?
Oh, like you, I started playing many, many years ago. I mean, when I was in school, that is, and played trombone through elementary school, and then piano a little later. And I loved your example with the triangle. It's such a cool instrument, you know. It's like, to me, it's a magical instrument because it has that little ring, ding, ding,
yeah,
ding. And you can sometimes just take a triangle and add it to an arrangement, and it makes all the difference in the world. And people step back and don't even realize why, but it's the triangle that's doing it.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
Yes.
And so when we see that, so you were sucked into that early. Did you teach music? Have you taught music?
I teach
or done
piano
any of that?
And have done
mm-hmm.
that. I teach piano for a number of years. And you just see what it does for the kids that are coming in, you know, again, to all their skills. And it just helps them be more attentive, I think, in life, which, you know, is the key trait in order to be successful in whatever you end up doing.
Yeah, and you know, I mentioned that thing about being therapeutic, and you can talk to psychologists and you talk to others in the field, and they'll tell you that there is something about music. That's why a lot of times, even with meditating, for people meditating, they use music, because the music can be very soothing, right?
Yes, no, absolutely, and there's been a number of hospitals that have actually begun to integrate, you know, music and art therapy as part of their regular treatments. I think I just read an article, Los Angeles Children's Hospital, where last year 10,000 patients had some sort of music, art, or dance therapy as part of their treatment. And they're doing this because it works. It helps the patients feel better. It helps them heal faster. And it just gives them an overall more positive experience, whereas, you know, as you know, being in the hospital generally isn't a fun place to be for whatever you're there for.
Yeah, no kidding. And you just went through this, and I think this is great, and I can imagine where it could end up in a couple of years, but you just went through the first annual Teach Music America, and what you were encouraging, and what you are encouraging, is that music teachers would find one new student where they could give them a free 30-minute lesson. Just bring one person in or offer it to one person, and with one person, that multiplies, as we know, and what a great thing. And I hope people listening, if you have that musical background and can do it, what a terrific thing that would be. Did you get any feedback on trying to do that and raise that awareness?
We started to a little bit this year, but like you said, we just kind of launched that only about a month or two before it was coming up on us. So I definitely expect it to build each year. And we're reaching out to music teachers and musicians. Even if you don't normally teach music, you know, take time, you know, 30 minutes to teach someone new, you know, just one free 30-minute lesson. Doesn't mean you're committing yourself as a teacher, but you're opening up the eyes to that child or even an adult, you know, to the gift of learning how to play an instrument, and that may get them hooked and further them develop, you know, they'll want to further develop that along the way.
Yeah. You mentioned trombone for you and piano. What's your favorite? What's your favorite instrument now?
Definitely piano. Piano. Probably because it's what I'm best at.
But do you remember the first time, though, you touched the keys? Didn't your my hands felt like, and I have decent hands, but they felt like little claws when I was trying to learn that in the beginning.
Yeah, it was definitely a challenge when you're starting out. But, you know, we're younger, obviously, everything seems harder. But it gets easier with time.
And also... Also, don't you find this, Vincent, that now there's so many tools in teaching you instruments. There's a lot of shortcuts to learning. Like, for example, if you play the guitar, they've got something where you can learn the chords easier. And I think it's the same with piano. So there has been, and people listening, if you always wanted to take lessons in something, but you shied away because you're like, oh, I don't have any musical ability. Now there's great ways to teach people. There's been a lot of innovations across the board with instruments, I think, and the way you can teach people. Don't you feel like that?
Oh, absolutely, because, you know, you can get a piano or a keyboard or a guitar for $100 or even less in some instances, and there are literally hundreds and hundreds of YouTube videos, instructional videos of all levels teaching you how to play, you know, piano, guitar, and any number of instruments that you can, you know, if you're motivated to learn on your own, it's there, you know, for the taking, so to speak. Whereas when I was growing up, there was nothing like that. You had to find a human somewhere to teach you.
That's right, because now that goes along with apps and the internet and everything, that you can go and you, like you say, you could have an instruction-based thing to start off that way if you wanted, and then of course you could get more advanced. I mean, there's other ways around that too, but there's just something about music, and there's no doubt about it. It enriches our lives, and I hope people listening to this conversation that we're having with Vincent just grab the bull by the horns, and if you are an instructor or you're a musician, help somebody out, get them involved. The more we spread that word, I think the better we are as a society, because of what it does to us and how it makes us feel. Vincent James, thanks so much. It was great to have you on the show. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you so much, Kate. You have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realist, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610, or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates, 1-800-425-4610.
Based on actual cases, results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services.
Once again, this man dispenses the best, I think, some of the best information around, without a doubt. And many of you believe that as well. So I'm very excited. He's in our virtual green room right now. There's no snow, I don't think, anyway. We removed it all just for him. It is Free Money Guy, Stephen Kelly. Yeah, no more snow jokes. You don't have to worry about the snow so much, right? It's all melting.
Well, that's what they say. Yeah, it is melting. And what hasn't melted, they've carted away, so... it's better. We can get around now and live like human beings again.
I love that. Live like human beings. All right, so here's the thing is the snow is melting in New Hampshire and in the rest of New England and the Northeast. The thing that's springing up around us is the fact that, you know, now we're getting longer days and we're getting closer to the tax deadline. So it makes people think about pulling everything together. And a lot of times they have different advisors for different things that they're, you know, in their life, Stephen, as you know. And you call it turf wars. And I think that's interesting because I can imagine it is set up like that because of the different people that you have perhaps advising you. And that can be dangerous, right?
Oh, it sure can. And in fact, last week this sort of came into stark relief for me. I had a couple, call them Ben and Judy, and they'd been to one of our Social Security workshops, which we teach at schools around New England. And they came in and talked to me, and they said, you know, they needed a Social Security guy. And I was saying, well, what's a Social Security guy? And they said, well, you know, we already have a financial planner, and it turns out that he was the guy who buys and sells their stocks. And we have an insurance guy, and we have an accountant and an attorney, and we even have somebody that we call our retirement guy, who is someone that we get information from our on our employer-sponsored retirement plan. But we didn't have anybody to help us with Social Security, so we're coming here, and you're our Social Security guy. And we want you to do the Social Security so that we can take it back to our planner and tell them what to do, and everything is going to be great. So I, you know, so as not to disappoint them, I went ahead and I ran a Social Security report for them. And as is so often the case, it was for them much more efficient for them to wait and take their Social Security at a later time. And we were able to show that if they both live to life expectancy, or actually if either one of them lived to life expectancy, they could get as much as $150,000 or more out of their Social Security. Now, the problem was the plan that they were putting together with the help of the three or four other people that they were working with called for them to take it sooner, and in fact immediately. And it turned out that they had come to me kind of to bless that plan. And the woman said, well, we want to have our money sooner rather than later. And he said, yeah, we're retiring to plan at 62. We're planning to retire at 62, and we want to enjoy life while we can, and then when we're old and feeble, we won't need that much money anyway. And our financial planner agrees with us, he said. Our plan is to move all of our 401k into his management company, and as soon as we do retire, he's the one who told us to take Social Security as soon as possible. And then the accountant also agreed. And, in fact, the accountant was giving them the advice that, you know, they wanted to hold off on their 401k and take that as late as possible and their IRAs because that's going to be taxable income. And then they had a lawyer, and the lawyer was on board, and he set up a trust and a pour-over will, and the trust is the beneficiary of the 401ks and all the other assets when they die, and he even agreed to be the trustee, so they don't have to worry about that. Now, Kate, these are all red flags. Just all of these things. First of all, the financial planner, the guy that they call their planner, had set it up so that he got to take on all of their money in the 401k as soon as they retire. And that may or may not be a good thing to do. I typically tell people you probably want to get it out of the 401k into an IRA. But the thing about it is he was thinking in terms of keeping the money for himself and pushing them into taking Social Security earlier rather than later so that he could continue to manage the money. The lawyer, he was setting himself up so that the trust would become the beneficiary of that 401k when they died, and then he, as the trustee, would get to manage all of that. And you never want your lawyer to be the trustee of your trust or the executive of your estate, because essentially what you're doing is you're giving the attorney carte blanche just to, you know, bleed the estate, bleed the trust. So they had all these things and in place, and even their insurance guy was in agreement, and he's recommended a variable annuity. So they've got three or four people all recommending things that are in the to the benefit of the person recommending.
Wow. Yep.
Not to the benefit of the client. All right.
Right.
And so they said to me, okay, you know, essentially he said to me, what do you think of that, Mr. Social Security guy? And so I said, okay, well, what I told him is I think you have way too many cooks in the kitchen. Rather than having a different advisor for every piece of your plan, I think you should have one advisor acting as a sort of head coach, helping to coordinate the entire plan. And then you wouldn't be running into some of those mistakes. So they wanted to know what I would have done,
mm-hmm.
all right, instead of that. So I told them, well, first thing I would do is fire your lawyer, find one who has your best interest at heart, someone who is not setting it up so that he's gathering all the assets and then becoming the trustee of the trust. That's just a huge red flag, all right? The second, I would use the Social Security analysis that we ran as a baseline income plan. We've already identified if you can use this Social Security plan that we ran today, we're adding $150,000 to your estate or to your plan. And how can that be bad, you know? What I would do is maximize the qualified money. And the qualified money is that money that has not yet been taxed. If you swap the word restricted for qualified, so it's tax restricted, not tax qualified, you'll understand what I mean. The IRS has not yet got its hook in that money because you have deferred the taxes on all of your contributions and all of the interest. That's your IRA, 401k, 403b, things like that. So the IRS has a huge stake in that money, as well as your Wall Street people. They have a huge stake in that money. So what I would do is I would use some of the options that we have and other planners have to either move that perhaps into a Roth IRA, and I have a way of doing that that allows you to recapture most of the taxes you pay when you do the conversion. Or maybe we use what we call an IRA 590, which allows you to maximize your RMDs, required minimum distributions, without drawing down the account, and save you a huge amount on taxes later on. There's a number of different things we can do to maximize that money and get it out of the hands of the IRS. But the only way all of this works is if it's all working together. And so whenever I see people sort of in this trap of having three or four or five people because they believe that three or four or five people is just safer than having it with one person, right? I mean, and when you think about it, you can kind of think of what the justification is. If I get one guy who's a Bernie Madoff and he only has a fifth of my money, then I've only lost a fifth of my money. And the
right.
other four-fifths is safe, okay? But the reality is when you have five different advisors, you've increased the chances by fivefold that you're going to get a Bernie Madoff, okay?
So yes.
What we want to do is find someone we believe we can trust and then follow that person's advice with a grain of salt, okay? And the things that you want to look for in someone to determine whether or not they're someone you can trust, the first thing you want to look for is this person a fiduciary? Is this person required by law to put my interest first? And stockbrokers aren't. You know, a stockbroker has a standard of being reasonable and prudent, but he is not required to put your interests first. A CPA is an investment advisor representative or a registered investment advisor, someone 65 is. These are people that are fiduciaries. A CFP is. And those are the people you want to look for. And
yeah.
Then the thing is you want your plan based on very modest returns, 2, 3, 4% maximum. Because if the person is promising you 8, 9, 10% returns, probably that person can't deliver what they're promising, or there's a better chance that they can't deliver.
Yeah.
So these are the things that I would look at, and this was just on my mind because of tax season. People are going to the CPAs, and I thought it was a good conversation.
It is a good conversation. So remember that, folks, and take that away. And we're going to talk to Stephen Kelly coming up again next week about something very important as well. Stephen, thanks so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
By now you may have heard a bit about bitcoins, but did you know bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning bitcoins or trying to make money in the bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for bitcoin. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
As somebody who lived in California, boy, I can relate to this. It's gotten very, very interesting. The conversation, my friends, turns to the possibility when you look at a poll that says over 80% want California to split in half and declare the 51st state. Can you imagine? In our virtual green room right now, someone who knows all about those grassroots efforts is Mark Baird. He's the leading grassroots advocate for this, for the spokesman for the state of Jefferson, and it's looking at that Constitution, etc. Hey, Mark, thanks for hanging with us on America Tonight.
No, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So explain to people the process, and when you say the state of Jefferson, the movement, and trying to form this 51st state, and how do you bring that all together and make it happen in the northern regions of California?
Well, the process is described in Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution. The founders must have foreseen the need for it. In fact, this has been done four times in the history of our country, Maine from Massachusetts, Vermont from New York, West Virginia from Virginia, and I think it was Tennessee from Virginia. And the way we do it is we somehow find a process through which we can determine which counties want to come with us. And so far we have 8 of them who have declared and petitioned to withdraw from the state of California. And then we have legislation introduced. We need 51% in the California legislature and 51% in Congress, and we have our new state.
So what's the reaction been? I imagine, you know, you're starting to see people really support this who are frustrated and tired of what they're seeing. What kind of reaction are you getting?
Well, we get a good reaction from the people because the people realize that, first of all, we have no representation. For example, my county shares a state senator with 10 other counties. Los Angeles County has 11 state senators. That's really the reason we're doing this, is we don't have any representation in Sacramento. We're taxed. We don't have any say over how the money's spent. We're subjects of the government here. We're not represented by the government.
Yeah, and how frustrating is that? And then the governor that you have, and in the situation you've got with water and whatnot. And do you think that what happens is people that don't live in California hear bits and pieces, but time differences and everything else that's going on in our crazy 140-character world can't relate to some of what's, like you say, what's happening and the lack of true representation?
Well, I think people have become used to not having any liberty, and liberty is the most important thing guaranteed by the Constitution, and what we want to do is form a constitutional republic that guarantees liberty for the people, and we're going to do it.
So what do you need to do to bring that back around? What do you need to do to really make this happen, really make it hard to say, you know, this is just another movement, or this can't happen, and great, you can talk about it. How do you make it become a reality?
Well, our job right now is to get as many declarations from as many counties as we can prior to the end of January of 2016. That's when we're going to try to have our legislation introduced. And what we intend to do, because we fully expect to be ignored by the state of California, after all, the people who are being subjugated by the California government have 90% of the resources in our part of the state. And what we're going to do is sue for dilution of vote and lack of representation if that fails. And failing that, we have Plan C as well.
Is it worse, in your opinion, and because you're there, is it worse in Northern California than Southern?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the lower two-thirds of California has 114 state representatives. The northern 20 counties of California has 6.
Wow.
We lose every time. We're losing the resource issues. We've lost our Second Amendment rights. We've lost our property rights. We've even lost the right to take cattle up and down the road anytime we want to, because the California Air Resources Board thinks they need to push Los Angeles air quality standards on places that could set air quality standards for the entire world.
And do you think part of that's what it is there's too much over-regulation?
I think that's the case in the United States in general, in California in particular. I think that's pretty much true everywhere. But once again, we did this. You don't get the government you deserve. You get the government you allow.
I like that. You get the government that you allow. And when you find, when you're out and you're working in those counties and people that are becoming pretty receptive to you, is there any particular demographic that really backs it up? Is it an older demographic or, you kind of see it across the board?
You know, we're seeing more and more young people because they realize that their liberty is gone as well. At first, when we started, it was, you know, pretty exclusively gray. But now we're seeing people from all walks of life because they can't make a living. They're being taxed out of their shirts. Businesses are bailing out of California with reckless abandon. Our children are leaving. They can't come back. They can't get jobs. And that's because our government has deprived us of our liberty and our property. And we can fix that. I mean, we're the ones that allowed it. We're the only ones that can fix it.
Yeah, I like how you said that. People are bailing out of California because they can't afford it. So they can move someplace else, even though their heart might be in California. It gets to the point where nobody's doing anything, and the taxation is really outrageous, isn't it?
No, it's absolutely outrageous. I mean, my wife and I are ranchers. We're small business owners. And quite frankly, if our business was mobile, we'd leave too, except for the fact that we decided to stay and fight. I mean, I'm sad to say that a lot of people choose to run instead of fight. And if you won't fight now, when will you fight? It's time. It's time for all of us to stop. We created government. People created government, not the other way around. The government serves the people, not the other way around. And we have to demand that behavior out of our government, and that's what we're doing.
Yeah, and being the, as I described you, as the leading grassroots advocate, as you take that mantle and, like you said, you decided, hey, we're not gonna run, we're gonna stay and fight. Did you envision yourself as, Mark, as somebody who is gonna end up being the spokesperson for the state of Jefferson?
Absolutely not. This was the furthest thing from my mind. All I, you know, I've worked all my life. All I wanted to do was ride my horses and go fishing.
And then you realize, okay, somebody's got to take the bull by the horns, right? So if I don't do it, who else is going to do it? And there might have been other people, but that's when you step up, right? And you realize, okay, this is that moment where I got to step up.
I think God places us in these positions, and it's all part of His plan. And when a door opens, you can't be afraid to walk through it. I've spent my life flying all over the world. I've seen every socialist paradise there is. And I have to tell you, constitutional republic works. And we had better restore constitutional republic to our states and to this country, or we will not like the country that our children and grandchildren grow up in.
Yeah, well said. I mean, it's one thing to go and visit. It's another thing to see. I say this, Mark, all the time. I covered the Mexican elections at one point, of course, the pre and the panistas, and I watched as they just stuffed every single ballot box and were forcing people pretty much to vote a certain way. And I thought, wow, this is not good. And I saw a similar thing in Ecuador where, you can't leave the country unless you vote. And, you know, we live in this such a great country, and I don't understand why more people don't take an active interest in what's happening locally, what's happening in their state, and then ultimately federally. I don't know why that is. Is it somehow we're missing that in school or learning that, or we've just gotten far, far, far away from that?
You know, I've got an old dog, and I love my dog, but he's kind of chained to the table. He knows where the table scraps come from, and he thinks he's free. And that chain's about 16 feet long, and if he only moves 14 feet, he probably won't ever realize it. But the people who have Second Amendment rights, they've already hit the end of the chain. People who are farming, they're hitting the end of the chain. And all of a sudden, I think people in this country are waking up to the fact that what they thought was freedom isn't. It's actually a brand of socialism that I don't care much for. But like I said, we created the government. And James Madison, Thomas Jefferson, Sam Adams all agree. If we allow this, then we admit that the servant is now greater than the master.
Yeah, and you said this at the beginning to bring it around. My final thing is, this is brilliance in a way, because you think of the time that's elapsed, and really the founding fathers knew that these kinds of things were possibilities, didn't they?
They knew all of this. These men were geniuses.
Yep.
You know, people like to say that the Constitution is outdated and that it has to change with the times. But I have to tell you, the Constitution was never meant to protect us from changing times. It was meant to protect us from human nature, and human nature never changes.
Yeah, boy, isn't that the truth? It never changes. Mark, what a delight to talk to you, and thanks so much for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much for having me. And our website, if someone wants to learn more, is SOJ51.net.
All right, SOJ51.net. Love it. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at LegalShield have found a solution.
With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.